No 321 anymore. We're just going to launch into from the renterswarehouse.com studios, TomBernardShow.com. We have a very interesting guest coming up in just a couple of minutes, Mike Peschka. Will racism die when today's racists die? It's going to be interesting what his take is on that.
My take is, of course not, because racism is a very easy cop-out.
It's running rampant. We will be back in 90 seconds. We'll have our guest and the Tom Bernard Show from the RentersWarehouse.com studio. And, of course, the TomBernardShow.com.
Hi, Tom here for my friends at Renters Warehouse. Are you considering a move soon? Need to relocate, combine households, or just don't want to pay your mortgage anymore? Forget the hassle of selling your home. Why risk getting less than your asking price? Find out what your home will rent for instead. Renters Warehouse can help you perfectly price your property and rent out your home easy, fast, and worry-free in just 17 days on average. And for only $80 a month, their professional landlords will manage your property 24/7, including rent collection, maintenance, inspections, tax paperwork, and more. They'll even warranty your renters for up to 9 months, meaning if for any reason the tenant doesn't stay, Renters Warehouse will replace that tenant for free. There are no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. It sounds like a great deal because it is. Go to RentersWarehouse.com right now for a free rental price analysis to see what your home will rent for today. Call 952-470-8888. Again, 952-470-8888 or visit RentersWarehouse.com. Renters Warehouse, the professional landlords.
To all the podcast listeners out there, I want to talk for a minute about loyalty. Your support and loyalty have helped to grow this podcast from a dream to reality. Do you know we get over 200,000 downloads a month now? As you know, Walzer came on board as a supporter this year because they believed in the vision as well. They're smart enough to recognize a great opportunity to reach a loyal audience. Listen, I know you don't buy a car very often. All I ask is when the time comes and you're in the market, give them a shot. Their prices are so good, they put them online. You also get free warranty for life on all new cars and most used. They even have a 3-day return and a 30-day exchange policy. These guys have become good friends, and even though we run different businesses, the basic principle is the same. Respect your listeners and your customers, and they will repay you with the greatest compliment, and that is loyalty. Walzer, just give them a shot. Give them a shot, I said. What the hell's wrong with you? You know what I'm saying. So basically, you may have noticed that the show's taken down our billboards that said, had a Hitler quote. I still can't believe that church thought that putting a Hitler quote on a billboard was a good idea.
Maybe they're stupid. They didn't know who he was.
I don't,
Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, I don't know if that's really possible.
You know what? I wonder what generation isn't going to know about him.
Well, I would guess.
I mean, eventually.
Probably the one after mine.
He's going to fade from memory, I would guess.
Because, I mean, like the belligerents or whatever before him, I don't really know about a whole lot before Adolf Hitler.
You guys don't know about the Kaiser, probably.
Well, I know like about the Kaiser, but I don't know much about him. I know he was German and bad.
He was German and bad.
But I really don't know about...
Much like your grandfather.
I don't know any of his ideologies or anything
Kaiser
about
him. Wilhelm?
Yeah.
Kaiser Wilhelm.
With the
Actually, it would have been your great-grandfather.
The pointy helmets, yeah.
Yes, he had the point on top of the helmet.
But, like,
spear.
I don't really know what his deal was. Like, everyone knows Hitler was all about the ethnic cleansing and all that kind of stuff. But what was Kaiser Wilhelm's thing?
Right.
So
he wasn't listening.
No, I was listening. Kaiser Wilhelm basically wanted to take over the world.
Oh,
just like Hitler.
Yeah. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the generation growing up now is kind of indifferent to that whole thing, because it has been almost 100 years.
Yes. No, it has. Yeah, it's right. Yeah.
The 30s, I mean, 80 years. Well, yeah, by the time they're adults, it'll have been about 100 years.
Well, the end of World War One was, what, 1917?
1918. Yeah.
So there you go. So we're almost at 100 years since the end of World War One.
Yep.
Although America, remember, we didn't get involved in World War One until 1917.
Right.
So.
Yeah, we were only involved.
We got in there. We kicked their ass. And
World War One is actually, I really don't know a lot about World War One.
Well, I suppose,
like, very little compared to World War II.
People hardly studied it. Same with the Korean War. People
it's just like it took a back seat to the bigger, more important. Because, you know, World War II was obviously, it has to have been the biggest worldwide conflict by far.
Every family.
But World War I, not so much. Yeah. I mean, it was big, but Really not unless, not if you were outside of Europe.
Not war scale.
No. No, well, that's absolutely true. So Mike is just going to call in when Mike calls in?
Yeah.
Is that correct? Well, I just wanted to make
Mike
sure.
Mike Ditka?
Yes, Mike Ditka is going to call in and schmooze about what it was like to be a bear.
A bear?
He was. He was a Chicago Bear. He was a player.
Yes, he is calling coach. In. Oh, well,
he
there you go.
He lives in the Vegas, I think, man. Doesn't he?
Who, Mike Ditka?
I think so.
He probably got a place in Vegas, but he said that you know he loves Chicago. He's got the place in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, sure he goes there in the summer.
I love this the fact that the ex-Twin Cities Archbishop Flynn says he doesn't recall abuse details. How do you not recall abuse details? Explain that to me.
What are we talking about? Choose not to?
Archbishop, Twin Cities Archbishop
Harry Flynn,
former. That prick turned on me once, I remember, in the newspaper. He did.
He did?
Stabbed me right in the back. Oh.
And now look at him.
Jerk.
Look what happened.
Just deserved.
Drunk as a bum.
I thought you were going to say when you were an altar boy or something. But.
No, not that way. Is Mike ready to go?
Uh-huh.
Mike, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
You know, things are going pretty well. We're just reading stories about the psychosis of religion, actually. It's interesting. We're going to be talking about racism with you.
Okay.
But we've been talking about religion, how this, I don't know if you heard about a church group in Birmingham, Alabama, took down a billboard because on their billboard they quoted Adolf Hitler and gave him credit for the quote. Now, why a church group would do that is beyond me, about how people don't seem to understand that the abuse of the Quran, because in the Quran it does not allow all of the things that the Taliban believes in. And they're abusing that religion. Now we got this Roman. I grew up Roman Catholic, by the way, Mike.
Yeah.
Archbishop Flynn says he doesn't recall the details of the abuse scandal. People are just I don't know. The whole idea of religion has to be taken too far, and then people apparently are more comfortable with it as soon as they bend and twist it into the form in which they want to believe things benefit them the most, I guess. I don't know.
You mean this 2,000-year-old book that was written before we knew the Earth was round is not entirely accurate and illustrative of today's problems? Interesting.
I know it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
Hard to believe, but it is what it is.
Knock me over with the Old Testament.
Now, do you pronounce your name Pesca?
Pesca.
So you don't do Pesca like Italian?
No, I don't think it is Italian, but Pesca means peach in Italian. That's how they say it. Pesca.
Oh, yeah.
They might say Pesci if it's an I on the end. Pesci.
There you go, Pesci. There you go.
It would be Pesca if there was an A. Yeah.
What the hell do I know, right?
Duh.
Let me just put it that way.
I've been asking myself that for a long time.
Pesca is peach. What's fish then?
Pesci.
Okay.
Joe the Fish.
Oh, I'm looking at this. They weren't quoting Hitler approvingly. They were saying, it doesn't matter.
No. They were. Because he said, what's the quote? What's the quote, Mike, if you got it up there?
He alone who owns the youth gains the future.
Right. And then it says Adolf Hitler right behind that.
Yeah, meaning that I think they were trying to say that. I don't know what the hell they were trying to say.
Stop trying to own the youth.
Yeah. Like, I think they were trying to imply that maybe our opponents, like the Quran, own the youth. Who knows?
Now, I'm looking at the billboard. It's really not clear at all.
Yeah.
It could be taken either way.
But, Mike, why would you put a quote up on a church group billboard quoting Adolf Hitler?
It's not a good – yeah. Just like anything involving Hitler or any argument where it's like – and that hinges on what Hitler said. Like, stop. You're not mad. And Adolf Hitler said, no, probably didn't say it, and don't bring Hitler into the discussion. And there's a lot of ways to argue with people. You know the old phrase, ad absurdum ad Hitler, that every discussion on the internet eventually turns into a reference to Hitler.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
And they sure do.
It's absolutely true. Mike Pesca is with us today to talk about, and the quote is, will racism die when today's racists die? And Andy, who is our son, on the show with us, by the way, Catherine, my wife.
Hello.
Our daughter Alex is not here yet, and I don't know where the hell she is, but she's supposed to be here.
It's a nice
living
day
a
out.
Good life is what she's doing.
Yes, Andy, our son, and then a name, you know, you're gonna like this name. Mike Molina is with us as well. Nice,
okay.
Nice Italian boy.
That means pineapple.
Yes. Pesca means peach, and Molina means pineapple. Yeah.
What is it? Does it actually mean?
Well, I don't know, because when they came over, it was Molinari.
Molinari, yeah.
Yeah, I got caught
Sounds
off.
Like a sauce.
Alice.
You know, my favorite, Mike, sauce. And we'll get to the subject, and I don't want to take up all your time, but I have a friend named John Castino, who was the Rookie of the Year with the Minnesota Twins many, many years ago in the mid-'80s, and his family came over from Italy, and they didn't want everyone to know they were Italian immigrants, so they shortened the name to Castino. The name was Castagnino. Yeah, because Castino doesn't sound Italian at all.
Yeah, you're going to pass.
Like, what? Come on. I mean, you know, it's...
Not to them, it is.
It is what it is. Mike, as far as racism is concerned, I did make an announcement. I've learned something from racism. And I basically want to know that the world to know that I'm racist, and my podcast is for sale for $2 billion, just like the LA Clippers. So what do you think?
You can't give away the game that easily. You over a series of months.
Mike, does it bother you that this jerk comes out and says these things? V. Stiviano, by the way, is a disgusting human being as well. But he comes out and says these blatantly racist things. And he benefits to the tune of, what did he buy the team for, like $12 million? $12 million, 25 years ago or whatever it was. And he benefits greatly by making racist statements, basically. He would have never gotten that much for that team if it weren't for all the publicity. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, I mean, it was a 1,600% return on investment, which is pretty amazing. Yeah. And I don't know about that question of would he have gotten $2 billion. I certainly, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, which are, you know, a team in a very small market comparatively, and, well, the Clippers don't have a good history, but they do have that market. They sold for $550 million.
Right.
There was a huge upward trajectory about how basketball teams, what they would sell for. And so beforehand, if you ask the smart person to value the Clippers, I bet they would have said, you know, I think you could maybe get three times what the Bucks got, you know, $1.5 billion. Now they got $2 billion. But the thing is, he doesn't, not that he deserves anything, but we should say, I don't think necessarily he looks at this as him benefiting. For the first of all, he's 81. A very big part of this case is that he's been deemed to have some neurological impairment, and he's been deemed by his wife's lawyers to, essentially not be of sound mind, right?
Right,
and
right.
He is, let's just face it, he's an old man who probably is not long for this world. So he would have, I think, preferred to go out in his last years of sentience with knowing that he owned this team. That was his whole identity.
Right.
The other thing is, passing it along to his heirs, if that was important to him, would have been able to be accomplished with no tax liability. And as this stands now, if this sale goes through, they're going to be on the hook for over $500 million. So I do think it was a punishment, even though it's $2 billion in him and his wife's pocket minus tax.
Well, on the other hand, $2 billion goes a long way toward extending your life. You could probably live for quite a while on that much money.
Yeah.
Just get a new heart every other day.
Well, first, it seems like first he'd have to get his initial heart, right?
Wow, that's a good point. Mike, I just want to – a few people joined us in the studio, so I want to update them. Mike Pesca is on the air with us. We're going to talk about will racism die when today's racists die. Mike, I mentioned Alex, our daughter. She has joined us now. And
hi.
Ralph and Lindsay Basham have joined us as well. Ralph is a doctor, and Lindsay is his boss. So,
all right. I have a seating chart that I'm working on right here on my end.
But I just wanted to update everyone. I just wanted to update them on what we're talking about, because they just walked into the room. We're
all
just
right.
Talking about racism. And are we talking about just racism in America or in the world?
Oh, it's two different things.
It is, yes.
And it's there's a lot of virulent racism, and even in weird strains and varieties that Americans wouldn't recognize. You know, in South Sudan, there are two tribes that Americans would say, oh, black people or African. We wouldn't say African-Americans or Africans, but,
Africans,
you know, the distinct racism of, or the distinct tribe identity has caused, you know, a million and a half deaths, and that's common. But in America, here's my whole thing. I was thinking about the Sterling, the example, mm-hmm. and it just struck me that among other things, he's an 81-year-old. And maybe we have a relative who's 81, or maybe we know people who are 81. And how comfortable would we be if their thoughts were on the subject of race
right.
in a surreptitious recording were played for everyone to evaluate? And so I called up a director of polling at Pew, and I have a podcast called The Gist on Slate, and we had this discussion, which is, you know, what are the reasons that racism dies? And some of it is that people get better educated, or people have – a big thing is that people have more contact with people of other races and wind up saying, hey, that's not so bad or not what I thought. But a big reason, especially on the subject of race, is that there are hugely different attitudes depending on one's age cohort. And this might not be something triumphalist about the human condition, but it is true that one when we say society has changed its mind, or we have moved as a society to a different position, often it's not that any individuals change their mind. It's just that the people with the old, in this case, outdated way of thinking are getting older, and they're aging out, which means they're dying from society. And that's especially with the issue of race, and also with the issue of being anti-homosexual. That's a huge factor in why society's opinions are changing.
Right. No, I think you're absolutely right about that. I just find some of the new thinking about race to be a bit disturbing, however, because there are people who believe that only white people can be racist because only white people are in power. That's an idiotic argument as far as I'm concerned. I should tell you, Mike, that I grew up in a neighborhood that was Italian, black, and Jewish. The predominantly the people in the neighborhood where I grew up, that's what they were. I tend to treat everybody the same because I grew up in all mixed cultures, right?
Yeah.
So everybody to me was the same. I learned from Jews. I learned from blacks. I learned from Italians. I learned from all kinds of people. Maybe even some from French people. But I'm not here. But anyway, in any case, I tend to treat everybody the same. And the far left-leaning people in Minnesota think that I'm racist because I do that. It's bizarre. You know, treating everybody the same is not acceptable. I have to somehow pay for the sins of Caucasian men everywhere because, you know, apparently some people believe that only white people can be racist. And to me, it's just a ridiculous concept.
Well, one of the ways that the Pew researcher I talked to, you know, they don't have a poll question that says, are you racist, or gets at the question.
Right.
But a really good proxy for this is, what is your opinion on intermarriage? What
right.
is your opinion on white people marrying black people? And they have all the different iterations, Hispanic people marrying black people, marrying white people, etc. And they make no distinction on the race of the person doing the answering.
Okay.
But they find that people who are not even 81, but 65 and over, are overwhelmingly against that. And that's lessened a little bit over time,
uh-huh.
but they're against it. And if you ask people who are your daughter's age and younger, they're like 85% okay with it. And so it doesn't matter if it's a black person or a white person answering the question. That sort of becomes a proxy for what is racism. If you're against intermarriage or a relationship mm-hmm. with people of other races, I don't know what your race may be, but I think that's pretty fair to call you racist.
No, I understand that. I understand that point completely. I just think that some young people have no idea what racism even is. They think they know what it is. An 81-year-old guy, Ari Shaffir, the very brilliant comedian, here's a guy who went to live in Israel. He wanted to become a rabbi and decided
the family wanted him to become a
rabbi. The family wanted him to become a rabbi, and he decided that wasn't for him, so he came back to America and became a comedian. Now, you want to talk about a 180-degree change in a life. But Ari said, let's see, an 81-year-old guy who's racist. Gee, whoever saw that coming? You know? It fascinates me. I see these things going on in America. First of all, race to me, I should also tell you, Mike, that I was the first media personality in America to come out in support of gay marriage. I just never cared because I've been around voiceover and entertainment my whole life. So my whole life I've been around gay people. I guess I'm a rare person because I've never cared about any of that stuff. You know what I mean? So isn't it part of the way you were brought up and where you were brought up? Enters into it. I mean, it weighs heavily, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, it's definitely a learned behavior. But I think that the even though the general premise of what we were talking about is that, you know, it's not like anyone makes progress, it's just that the tired old racists die.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the example of what your opinion is on gay marriage and people coming around to that example, as it happens more and more, and as more gay people come out, and as more people say, oh, I didn't know you were gay, but you are, or they're now an out gay person, it's becoming more and more acceptable. And I think that that's an optimistic thing.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
kind of tells us that, you know, the more you're actually exposed to the real life examples of people of different races or different, you know, sexual identities, the more okay you are with it. That's pretty positive. I'm okay with that.
No, I understand. Another problem that I do have, because I, you know, I've been in radio my whole life, been around comedy my whole life. I always loved Don Rickles. And when I see Rickles go on, like Letterman or whatever, and of course he can't do the jokes that he used to do. But Don Rickles made a statement, and you'll like this, being an Italian. Don Rickles was on the Letterman show, and he said, look, everybody has to understand. I mean, we're all just one great society. We're all in this together. We're talking about, you know, the Arabs and the Jews and the Italians. Well, maybe not the Italians. But no one laughed.
Oh, come on. Really? Rickles?
Yeah, Rickles.
I always thought Rickles had it in for hockey pucks more than
anything. Yes, he did have it in for hockey pucks. But one of the things that scares me is it, you can't, no matter what you say in live comedy now, somebody's going to get offended by it. And, of course, comedy comes from trying to deal with your own anger. There's no question about that. But I don't like the idea that somebody is always getting offended. No matter what you say, it's offensive.
Right. So we live in a state of constant umbrage.
Yep.
It's just the national trend. It's ridiculous. It's mostly, I would say it's largely invented. And so here, I think there are a couple phenomena going on. One is that now that everyone has Twitter and a hashtag, you could all be a hashtag activist and, you know, voice your offense and make it known that you don't like that. But even though that there are some people who are doing that, I think it's a smaller and smaller portion of society. And I was interviewing this comedian on my podcast, and he had a joke where he said, you know, I had a friend who had just seen a documentary on the Nazis, and she couldn't, and she was trying to come up with the word, and she said, I couldn't come up with the word. The Nazis, and they committed there, and she was trying to come up with atrocities.
Atrocities,
and she said, shenanigans.
Shenanigans! That's what they were.
His whole routine was on the Nazi shenanigans. And it's like this great routine. Now, if you think about it too much, you're kind of making light of the most horrific event of the 20th century.
Yes.
But like, as I know, but he did it on the Seth Meyers show. Like, no one batted an eye. So he says, and I think this is true, that audiences are willing to go with you to places, not just like the audience there in the club, but just nationally, where much more willing to have a lower threshold for being offended. At the same time, when those of us who are offended have a louder megaphone to voice our displeasure. So that's what's going on. I think we're actually getting much more relaxed as a society about that. But the ones of us who aren't are louder than ever.
Now, Mike, I do have to ask you, the gist, right?
Yes.
Which you're the host of Slate Magazine's daily podcast, The Gist, and you can find that everywhere on iTunes. And podcasting is wonderful, first of all. But how many people knew what the word gist even meant?
People think it started with a J.
I know. They do. Well, I got to find the gist. J-I-S. It's a great word, and I love it. The name of a podcast, The Gist, is a terrific podcast name. But I'm just wondering how many people even knew what the hell it meant.
It's, I think, enough. I think my natural audience will. It's like a vocabulary test to get in the door. You know, it's not called the antediluvian. That would be too high.
I like that actually. I think
you
it's
like
a
that
good
idea. Yeah,
I think it's a wonderful idea. Are you? I mean, you've been an American radio journalist. Podcasting now. Are you loving podcasting? Because I've been in radio now for 42 years. I've been on the same morning. Actually, I interviewed you a long time ago.
Oh, really?
On the KQRS morning show in Minneapolis. Yeah, wow. It was a long time. It was quite a while ago, though. But I've been on that show for 29 years, which is really unusual. I mean, you've been
around. Were we talking about the Minnesota North Stars? Is that how long it was?
Yeah, it was not that long ago because I was – well, they were still – yeah, I mean, when the show went on the air, it went on the air in 1986. So we're in our 29th year, and I have no idea why the hell it stayed on the air this long, but I guess
– Really? It went on the air in 1986, and they're on their 29th year?
Yeah.
I'm 27.
Oh, I know you're 27.
And I was born in 1986.
Math.
Well, no, what I'm saying is we've begun our 29th year because by the time we get to April 17th of 2015, that would be 29 full years. I said we're in our 29th year.
People who are 28 are in their 29th year.
Yeah, Andy.
Yeah.
So what do you think of that action?
Yeah, I guess the thing about humans is we're technically zero until our first birthday, but...
Yeah.
Not according to Italians, Andy. You have to understand that. No. When you're born, you're a year old when you're Italian.
Well, my mom still refers to me as he's very smart for a 482nd month old.
That's fantastic.
Well, at least your mom gave up the weeks.
He gave the weeks. Yeah. That's true. Mike, you got to pop on the show here, the TomBernardShow.com, once in a while. It's fantastic talking to you because a subject – people got very concerned because they're like, wait a minute, will racism die when today's racists die? They thought it was going to get all heavy and we were going to argue about this. And you're a very level-headed guy, and you get the gist of the problem.
Stop.
I imagine that.
Bing.
Stop. What do you think of that action? Take that home with you, Mike.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Please come back, sir.
All right.
Thanks very much. Mike Pesca. Yeah, the gist, G-I-S-T.
You know what the etymology of gist is?
Etymology.
From Old French, jazir, to lie.
Hey,
huh. Jazir is to lie?
Yep.
Or is it jazier?
Ear.
It is ear?
Yeah.
Jazir.
Old French was before they fancied it up.
Oh, that fancied it up. Is it bachome? Is that Old French or New French?
That sounds New French.
New French. And jazier are gizzards. So. G-E-S-I-E-R are gizzards.
Thanks so
much. Yeah, G-E-S-I-R
yeah, thanks
would be
so
the
much
old French
that,
word.
Well,
I'm trying
thanks
to
for
out.
Showing up, by the way, dressed in your Sunday best.
Oh, boy, you both look so fancy.
You do look very
fancy. So you're on Twin Cities Live?
Did a little Twin Cities Live stuff.
What
were you
talking about?
Talk about the facelift next to me. Talked
oh,
about that.
I didn't
talked about
know
the facelift next to me.
My wife,
that.
Lindsay's next to me. We talked about her facelift and how. What? Actually, Shima did most of the talking. I was just there just as this. To say hello.
Like I did that.
So it's like usual. What do
well,
you mean?
Look
so
amazing.
They called you and said, we want to talk about your facelift.
It was scary to actually see the before picture.
Scary?
Yes, because even though I felt like I was old, but to see it, I just thought, oh, gosh,
oh,
it's
didn't.
A good thing you have that.
Come on.
No, you oh, did not.
Yes.
No.
You did really.
Yes.
Well, it's
you
one
know,
of those things,
well,
too, guess, I'm sure, that it's like side by side.
Right.
Well,
you know?
Yeah,
and that's what it was, side by side.
The contrast
yeah.
well,
is always
and they put
much
you
darker.
In like bright, scary
fluorescent
light.
Light.
Yeah,
right,
make you look
yes.
as bad as you can for those
like,
before
don't wear
pictures.
Any makeup.
No.
Don't sleep
don't
for three
do
days.
Make
just
a big frown, and I'm going to punch you in the face. Then we're going to take a picture of you.
Bad lighting.
Make you cry.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a 90-second break here. Actually, only a 60-second break, and then we'll do a promo, and then we're going to talk to the Hackmaster.
We didn't do Brian, did we?
Brad we're doing
Sean
Brian here, yeah.
Brian.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're doing Brad, Sean,
where
Brian
are we?
Right here. Where
we're
are we?
Are we doing
30
the
minutes.
After, are we going to the quarter two,
minutes.
Or are we doing the 30? Okay, 30. All right.
Yes.
Just wondering.
There's
totally.
Three breaks now.
Oh.
I've
I'll
compressed
break
them.
You.
Oh, okay.
Efficiency.
I didn't know there was compressing.
Listen to the Love Happy Hour with Kaylin Rosenberg, the love architect, author, celebrity matchmaker, and renowned relationship expert, along with producer Kelly Guest Live every Friday at thelovehappyhour.com on demand on iTunes or on YouTube. The Love Happy Hour weekly on the Tom Bernard Network. Back in 60 seconds, Ralph and Lindsay Basham are here. Mike Molina is with us and the family. More in the RentersWarehouse.com studios next. I have a good reason to be talking today to Mike Bryant of the law firm of Bradshaw and Bryant.
Other than I'm one of the nicest people you know.
Well, that too. Now, today I need some legal advice.
I'll do my best. We always do our best for all of our clients.
Okay, here's my problem. I think I have a libel case for you to handle.
Okay, give me the facts.
Okay, the facts are I've been accused of being a bigoted, racist asshole.
Okay. I think a jury would be convinced, based on your statement, that there is no place for racism, that you hired the first black co-host for a radio show in the market, and that you grew up in North Minneapolis, that you couldn't, by any stretch of the imagination, be guilty of racism.
Well, thank you for that.
Easy money for Bradshaw and Bryant. The facts show the person was uttering the canard was had libeled you, defamed you, and damaged your reputation.
And he also called me an asshole. What can you do for me there?
Honestly?
Well, yeah, of course.
In libel, truth is an affirmative defense.
You mean if I am an asshole and he calls me an asshole, I have no complaint?
I'm just saying.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Bryant will be our in-studio guest one of these days again. We like having Michael Bryant, and we talk law, like Dr. Basham is with us now. And basically, since he walked in the room, all we talked about are facelifts and abrasions on your skin.
Abrasions.
Is that what they are? Are they abrasions?
They are skin cancers.
I know how That's I can come to the show tomorrow.
What?
If Andy goes and picks up the dogs on the way here.
Picks up your dogs.
Yeah, that's a little inconvenient. Half an hour out of the way.
Unbelievable.
Hey. What do you need a neighbor who is going to let your dogs out for you?
You know who could do
what
that? You know who could do that?
New.
Is Mike Rasmussen. He's in tomorrow, isn't he?
Yeah, yes.
I'm sure he wouldn't do that.
Why wouldn't he do that?
Go ask
Mike's
him.
Mike's a pain in the ass.
Oh!
Just kidding.
Well, that's nice.
He'd probably
your
do it.
Future brother-in-law.
Future brother-in-law.
I could ask him.
I got to ask you something, though. So a TV show calls you and goes, hey, why don't you come on and talk about your facelift? I mean, is that how they did it?
I'm basically. Sure not exactly.
Pretty
so they basically come and said, let's talk about your facelift.
You're a really good ad because you look great.
Yeah, you do.
It turned
Thank
out
you.
Very well.
Thank you.
You really did.
Yeah,
you don't look like
we've done
you
three
had
segments
something.
So far. We did three segments so far, and they got wind of this, that we'd done this facelift, and that's why they wanted to come on and do it.
So I was going to say, you were just on Twin Cities Live not that long ago. Yeah.
So did you do a before, a middle, and an after? Or how? What
they
were
filmed segments? Surgery.
Well, they filmed the surgery.
Yeah, and they talked to me before.
Really?
So you saw footage of yourself with no face?
That was creepy.
Yeah, I would imagine so.
I can imagine.
Because I'm used to filming it, not being the one filmed. Well, of course, I was asleep, but...
Right.
That was an old...
I would hope
was
so.
It weird for you to do your own wife's facelift?
No, it really
you know,
isn't.
Like I'm peeling
it
off
is what
my,
it is.
My wife's face?
Yeah. Well, no. They don't really you don't peel off her face.
No, they do.
Yeah, they do.
Well, you peel it back a little bit. You, don't
you
peel
do?
It
off,
well, it depends on how extensive it is, yeah.
Because well, you have to peel it like this, then pull
I thought
it
that
up.
Was... I thought that...
What was that show that started all this... The
Swan
reality. Yeah, was it the Swan? No,
one was
another
the Swan.
One. I remember watching a facelift, and I was like, "Oh my god,
yeah,
this
I've never
is
seen
really
it.
Weird."
It's kind of
intense.
Graphic,
yeah.
Well, I always thought the joke, and I can't remember if it was Shecky Green whose joke it was, but he said, "Yeah, my ex-wife, she went to get a facelift. They saw what was underneath, and they put it back down." I thought that was a joke, but they actually saw a facelift is a facelift.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah. You release the skin and lift up the muscles and
yank
lift
it,
up the skin.
Yank
and
it up.
Yank it tight.
Who was the first one that allowed this to happen?
Yeah,
to
whose idea was this?
I mean, this has been around a long time.
Well, I know, really? But I mean, the first one, I got to be like, wait a second, you're going to do what?
A lot of the plastic surgery started out with war. You know, injuries, military injuries.
Yeah,
so
that makes
in
sense.
France and, you know, then
sense.
It's like,
why
hey,
it have to
we
be
could
in France?
Also.
Don't be nice to Ralph.
And one of the founders was Jacques Joseph. He really described nose surgery, rhinoplasty. And right about that same time, Sir Harold Gillies and were doing these World War One injured people. And then they started doing this aesthetic surgery with that. So the facelift came right up to the end of the last century.
Oh, well, I'm at it.
Reportedly, the first one was performed in Berlin in 1901.
Yeah.
Although
yeah.
they were a bit different back then.
Yeah.
They'd pull the skin taut and cut the wrinkles off.
Yeah, that's about it.
I mean, I do remember.
So then you'd have a big scar?
Yeah, you'd look worse, you'd
like
think.
Like a purse string tight.
Yeah.
Because in the 1930s, like gangster movies, they would get a facelift. That's true. Remember, they'd commit some crime and they'd go
they'd
in and
try
get,
to change their
appearance.
Yeah. Of course, that was it.
So
can you change somebody's appearance that much where you wouldn't even?
Yeah,
know?
Easily.
Mean, before there was all of these implants and all this stuff.
At that time, it would have been difficult.
Well, if you just mangle them
things.
Enough.
I can scar them up enough.
Yeah, there you go.
Mangle them enough. That's nice.
Mangling.
Sounds
yeah.
like
a
no
job
one
for
will
the
ever recognize you.
Yeah, I was thinking about it. I think it was a John Garfield movie, and he committed some crime, and he was on the run. So he went. But I don't think they called it a facelift.
It's
they
on the lamb.
Maybe they did. I don't remember.
Lamb.
He was on the lam.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You have to say
but,
lamb.
But they, you know, he looked like a completely different person. Yeah. I mean, he went from looking like Jimmy Durante to looking like John Garfield.
Yeah,
you know.
So they probably had the before makeup, took it all off, and then everything was all wrapped up. Yeah. And those things, they were always wrapped up, and only could see their eyes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The drama was to unwrap them and just reveal this. Right. Oh my God!
So you didn't have to go through the mummy process.
Not too much, but I had some sort of contraption that I kept saying, "Please take this off. I can't stand it."
Oh, it's got to be a pain.
Yeah,
that's got to be. Yeah, it's got to be difficult.
How long is the healing process? Like, when will you? Because I know that for some things, it's like, 2 years until you're back. Like, because your leg.
Don't worry about it.
That was like 9 months. Did they say until you felt like a year until you felt
that's
like normal?
Cutting down into the joint, though. I mean, a facelift. What? It's probably just the dermis.
6 months to a year.
It's a little deeper than
the
that.
The body heals 6 months to a year. That's just a standard. The way it is. Regardless of what you have done, that's going to take 6 months or a year to heal
when
up completely.
When you cut in there, into anything.
But, Alex, you've seen me a couple times in between.
Yes.
Recovery. Mm-hmm. So pretty much after a week and a half, I looked okay.
Yeah.
The incisions still weren't healed, and they won't be fully healed for 6 months, right?
And we went to dinner at six days after our surgery with close friends, and they saw it. Wasn't that big a deal.
So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Do you ever, like, go out to dinner and have a few glasses of wine and then go over to somebody and go, you need a facelift?
Honey, you're so saggy.
Reach over and touch their cheek and say, think of others. Think of others. Get this up. Come on, let's get this up. Come on. Here.
You get a nasolabial folds there. You look like a bulldog.
Oh, God.
You look in the mirror, look at the schnoz.
Some people do.
They do.
It's unfortunate.
Well, they say you end up looking like your dog eventually.
Yeah, exactly.
So my ears are going to grow like five times their current size.
Yeah, you're going to get flobby ears.
Cutest
get
flobby ears. The world.
Yes. Looking like Jude.
Pointy and excited with a snaggle tooth.
You used to see, and you don't anymore ever, but, well, that's not true. I mean, like the Michael Jackson type of thing where they just won't let it go.
And the sad thing about that is those people have a psychiatric problem.
There's no question. Yeah.
And they will always find somebody to operate on them.
Yes.
Unfortunately. I mean, after a certain point, an ethical surgeon wouldn't do it, but there's technically no law against it.
That's right.
If they don't care, then they'll just say, sure, I'll take your money and do whatever the hell you want.
But, I mean, his nose fell off.
Yeah. It was so deformed that he couldn't present himself.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. He just chose to do all these surgeries. I mean, he was a good-looking guy.
He was a very handsome young man.
He had the nose surgery, and he looked a little bit better. He still looked ethnic, and then he went wacko.
A guy who used to work for him told me privately, and I won't identify who he is, so it's still private.
It was Andy.
He said that it all started because he went to a doctor and said, I don't want to look anything like my father. That's where it all started.
Mm. Yeah, and
he want to look like Diana Ross?
Yes, he wanted to look like Diana Ross.
That doctor should have said, you know, you need some therapy.
It's
inside your head, not outside your head. You got the problem. And he traded a psychiatric problem for a surgical problem.
No question.
Well, and you think the vitiligo would take care of that eventually.
Did he actually have vitiligo?
Yeah, that's another thing.
He had some peels, and I think he had some lightening of his skin because he didn't want to be black anymore.
Because he didn't want to be dark. He never had here's a spot.
Well, makeup will take care of that.
You get all splotchy when you have that, right?
Well, he just went from like being black to being white.
I know a guy that has vitiligo, and it doesn't look anything like what
it presents in different ways.
Do they actually bleach their skin?
You can bleach your skin.
It's fairly common in India.
Yeah, you can burn your skin. He probably had a chemical peel to burn his skin, and that bleaches your skin and it lightens your skin. That's one of the dangers of doing the chemical peels.
Oof.
This heavy
peel. Your whole body he had to have done, I'm guessing. Because his arms and everything. Well, he wore all those gloves and all those weird things. Maybe he didn't. I don't know.
I talked to his bodyguards yesterday. A couple of really, really interesting people. His bodyguards, Javon Scott and Bill Ridgway, I think his name is. But they said, first of all, that Michael had a tremendous sense of humor, which he never presented publicly. I mean, did you ever think he was funny or had a sense of humor? And he used to sit down and have 20 chicken wings at a time.
So do I.
But he weighed like 110 pounds or something.
I was going to say, he weighed like an ounce.
He's busy dancing hard.
Well, now.
With all that dancing?
Yeah.
And I've been also told by many people, he said he was the nicest person ever. nice, wonderful.
Unless you were a little
man.
Boy.
Oh, well, I knew no, you were going to say
but,
that.
But he was nice to them, too, but in a different way.
But
people have had personal dealings with him, so they were just a very nice, gracious person.
Unless you were a Jew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember, the Jews do it on purpose. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's recorded. I don't remember that.
There's a recording of him on the phone with his banker saying, I need $7 million. I need it today. The Jews do it on purpose. Mike, Andy, you could find that.
Maybe meant his Jewish manager?
I don't know who he meant. But
when he was in a fight with Sony?
Yeah, I think that's what
that
it was.
Whole thing. They were calling.
So, Andy, you could find that. Jews do it on purpose.
Didn't he own all the rights to all the Beatles songs?
Yes, he did. Yeah. And that pissed off Paul McCartney to no end.
I can't imagine.
But then Paul got it all back, apparently. Mm. I don't know. The whole thing is, do people ever come to you and they say, I want to look like Elvis Presley or whatever? Well, it's probably not now they wouldn't want to, you know.
I did. I went in last week. And he said, I would like you don't have a prayer. Forget it.
But do people want to look
like Brad Pitt's nose or
like something they could never look like?
No, I don't see that. I just don't see that patient population because
just
because the nature of our practice or my practice is that we don't garner those kind of patients.
Yeah.
And if those patients do show up, we generally try to get them to psychiatric help because that's what they need. To look like somebody else is just
How do they take that? Do they take that well? No, I'm not going to do your surgery. By the way, here's a number for a nice shrink.
You have to approach it in a gentle way.
Yes.
For those people. And
crazy
say that, that's the most difficult thing to be able to say, you need some help in other ways. And, you need to get them to that help. And most of the people refuse that or in denial or that's why they're there.
That's why I don't have new shoes. He turns patients away.
Way to go, Ralph. You have to
sleep at night and you have to have some ethics. And there's many people who do cosmetic surgery don't have the ethics. They just don't care. They want that money.
So those patients can always find those doctors.
You just go right down I call it the cosmetic surgery food chain. You just go right down slide. Say, Kanye West's mom went to a reputable plastic surgeon and said, I don't know if this is a good thing to do. You got some other medical problem. I don't think it's a good thing to do. And then she went someplace else, two other places. And sooner or later, she found somebody and said, we'll do this. She's dead.
No, she's dead, yeah. That's terrible.
Yeah, you don't really want to go cheap with surgeons.
No.
I wouldn't say
not a good idea.
Always get the best doctor, I say.
I know somebody that went to a laser, to get eye surgery.
Yeah.
LASIK?
Yeah, that's what the word is. From somebody they found from a phone book, and he went blind for, 9 months.
No.
I swear to God.
Well, I didn't even know what the hell he was doing.
But that can happen, right?
No,
that's
dad.
Yeah, you've had it done what twice,
Michael Michaelis.
There's no chance you're going blind unless you're a total psycho of a doctor. They know what they're doing. They hold your head still. All you got to do. I mean, you do go blind when they peel back your
cornea. I had that.
I could never.
No, that's the only. That's the thing preventing me from
doing
it.
It's a huge deal.
And you're awake when they do that.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
No, I would have to be heavily drugged.
Yeah,
it's not that big a deal.
Have you had it done?
But I had it done. I had it done both eyes at the same time. And
was it freaky?
It makes my skin crawl.
It was freaky, but this was the time I realized get a grip on your ADD because you say, look at that white, at that little red light. I go, don't move, don't move.
Well, I did the same thing.
Well, it makes
do
me
not move.
Like my
see,
skin
I know I'd move. I would just like,
no,
I'd just like
no,
twitch or something trying to keep still.
You know, it's weird though, because I have trouble with MRIs because a lot of people don't like to be put in the MRI. I fall asleep. And, of course, when you fall asleep, you jerk when you're asleep. So I have trouble in MRIs because now you have to stay awake. Because they do. They put me in there and they roll me in there. I go,
oh, that's right. You're like me. You're tired. You've been there. This is a place. It's time. There's some
Z's
here.
Yeah. It's noisy, though.
It's
really
loud.
It's
really
loud.
There is a lot of that. But they literally would get on the thing and go, wake up, Mr. Bernard.
They usually give you headphones, though, with some sort of music.
Yeah, they do.
Well, then you go to sleep.
Yeah, soothing sounds, spa music.
Yeah.
Yes, that's exactly.
They should listen to this podcast. They should be broadcasting this podcast because you don't go to sleep in this podcast. It's
there
so
you go.
We
are.
You're damn right.
It's very hilarious.
LASIK works via ablation of the cornea, right?
Yeah, you reshape the cornea.
Cornea, right.
Yeah.
It's just so weird that they have to peel it back first.
Well, they used to do radiokeratotomy where they cut the outside of the cornea and reshape it that way.
Little slits all the way around.
That was inconsistent and it had a high recurrence rate. So then they went to the newer systems where you peel the outer layer of the cornea back like a corneal transplant. You take away a little bit of the cornea to reshape it and you put it back down and it heals. It heals like in 2 hours.
Well, but shouldn't they be able to do the calculations and do the ablation without the incision?
No, because you do the ablation inside the cornea.
And it doesn't work if you do it outside?
Right. It just hurts like hell. Because when you take all the epithelium off a cornea, man, that hurts.
Put some cocaine drops in there. There you go.
Yeah.
You're good to go.
Not in the eye. Oh, not in the eye.
Dr. David Whiting is the guy who did mine, did both mine. It's nothing.
There's a laser in your eyeball and they peel your eyeball apart.
You can't
feel
the laser. It's just, like you said, the red light.
I don't even like when I get an eye exam. They're like, look at the red light. I'm like,
took you like 15 minutes, I swear.
Alex,
you were in there for no time at all.
I know.
Thank you.
Alex, I'm telling you.
I would seriously have 12 panic attacks.
You would not, because I don't like that eye exam stuff either.
I can't do it.
I don't like staring at the deal. I don't like it when they put drops in your eyes. It's nothing
it's
like
horrible
that.
And terrifying and my worst nightmare.
Alex, your father did it.
I can't do it.
So
I can't do it.
You could do it.
So I'm the biggest candy ass on earth, apparently, is the message.
Not the biggest. Did I say the biggest?
Just a mid-level candy.
The Rusty Gatenby Review video podcast on the Tom Bernard Network. The Rusty Gatenby Review is entertaining show about entertainment. Rusty Gatenby will give you his opinion about upcoming movies, restaurants, music, or events. We'll also feature in-studio guests. The Rusty Gatenby Review, find it at therustygatenbyreview.com. That's therustygatenbyreview.com on YouTube or on the Tom Bernard Network page. We'll be back with more of the TomBernardShow.com from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in 60 seconds. Tommy Mischke and Tom Bernard from Midwest Fence. Todd's in studio. You gave him a call, said, come on down.
Good to have a guy from Midwest Fence here. I did ads for Midwest Fence for years.
They put in a fence for me out at the farm, Mile of Fencing. I've known the company for a long, long time. That fence looks today like it did the day they installed. About that same time they put that fence in, I did a commercial for a new product called Trex. You've heard of it.
Trex Fencing at a Midwest Fence. They're exclusive dealers of this fencing. The most durable fence out there. Isn't that right, Todd?
Absolutely. It tested up to 130-mile wind speed.
Yeah. So it's still sitting there after an F2 comes by.
Only fence standing.
Yeah.
Did you say FU or F2?
Someone says FU, that thing's still standing.
It's still standing.
It's still there. Tough son of a bitch. That's Trex Fencing. Midwest Fence, serving the metro and beyond. See us online at MidwestFence.com. That's MidwestFence.com for $250 off any fence project.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph and Lindsay Basham are in studio with the family. The entire family's here.
But we found out. No one will be here. Mike can't pick up the dogs.
Of course he can't. Tell him to not come down here then.
We don't care.
We'll get Melina.
Don't come here unless you've got the dogs.
Yeah, I'll pick them up.
Melina would pick him up. Basically, during the break, Catherine and Alex revealed that they won't be coming in to do the show tomorrow.
Sorry.
Well, I could do... No, I can't. They can't do it.
It's just
let's go out to Orono.
Yeah, I could drive all the way out to Orono.
I'm not going to show up for the show on Friday.
It's fine. Well, I'm fine with me.
I got to roll a trash can to the curb.
I got a thing.
What
do you want me to do? I have a doctor's appointment where they're going to be
doctors
removing
are overrated.
Stuff. So shut up.
I don't know what you want me to do. Dogs are in the kennel from 7:30. And then I don't get home until 6, so that's 11 hours.
Take them to the pound.
Doggy daycare.
I can't bring them to doggy daycare tomorrow because they're not registered.
Yeah,
for
you
got to
do all this stuff.
Jesus, Palomina. Wow. So it's going to be Andy, me, and Mike Rasmussen.
And Bob Marley.
Bob Marley's
you get to talk to
o'clock.
A ghost dad.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's pretty entertaining.
Isn't Doug coming in on Thursdays?
Well, that's right. Yeah, Doug Sprinthal will be in.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
that's true. He'll be in. We'll do the... Carmudgeon.
I'm sad. I want to meet Bob Marley.
Now, are you going to be in on Friday?
No. You don't work
I'm just kidding.
On
yes,
Friday.
I will.
Because
I'll be here on
Throttle
Friday.
Me Bill's coming in on Friday as the
special
guest.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
On
Friday.
Andy,
so
you know
excited.
That Brittany's coming in as a guest next week.
I did not.
She's all fired up.
Is she on the schedule?
Wait, when's Britt coming
No.
in?
Who's Britt?
I don't know. Wait, Britt.
Oh, I was Brittany. like from the middle?
I don't know, but
what? That child?
She loves Andy.
She is not on the calendar, no.
No, I just talked to her about it today.
Isn't she like my opposite in every way?
Pretty much, yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, I think she is. Because she's just.
Why is she?
Okay, I feel like when we sit next to each other and I'm all like, oh, golly jeepers, save the deer. And she's like swearing and talking about.
Well, she did two tours in Iraq.
Exactly, talking about Iraq. Like, you'll notice the contrast.
You got to get her drop queued up, though.
No.
Her intro drop.
It's Britney, bitch. Every time we go to a caller, because Britney Spears, who was she talking to, Britney Spears, when she said, it's Britney,
it's
bitch?
It's part of a song that she did. It just
it is?
The beginning of it. It was like, it's Britney, bitch, and then started the song.
And didn't she have her tour like that as well? A whole tour?
Yeah.
It's called Britney, bitch, was the tour?
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when she wasn't a good girl anymore.
So there's, it's Britney, bitch, and the Yeezus tour.
Yeezus
is Kanye West tour.
Yeast tour.
Yes, that's what it was. Great idea.
Kanye West, I read this today, gave Kim Kardashian, because they got married.
Mm-hmm. Didn't really get married.
In Italy,
right,
it's not legal.
It's not legal meetings.
No, they got an American marriage.
No, they didn't. They went to France and Italy, and they did not. They're not married.
Oh, well, whatever.
They're doing another ceremony, apparently.
I'm sure.
27th.
Okay. They'll do as many
as
they can.
He gave her a nude painting of herself for a wedding gift.
See what I'm saying? These people are insane. Ugh. And anybody who watches that is insane right along with them.
Honey, for our anniversary, would you like a nude painting of yourself?
That'd be wonderful.
The post that I read, it was like, Kanye knows Kim so well that he gave her a nude picture of herself for their wedding. Like, enjoy that therapy, North.
Well, don't you think, honest to God, that if somebody did that to you, you'd go, you really think I'm that self-involved that
she
would give me?
I think she'd be happy to get it.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, what if Dan gave me that for our wedding gift?
I'd have to read
what's wrong with you.
He'd never make it out of the reception, I'll tell you that.
They have a team thinking all this stuff up.
Yeah,
they do.
Exactly.
Right.
It's all made up.
It's all generated.
Because my thing is, I'm sure that they're very lovely people in real life, but they play these horrible characters.
They are not lovely people in real life. Her own mother hoarded
like
her.
In real life.
No.
Not
their father helped OJ murder two people. They're horrible human beings.
Well, maybe this is part of his community service.
And now before we
entertaining
it's time to wrap the show.
He's dead.
It's narcissism. Run amok.
There's no doubt about it.
Oh, well, maybe
Robert. Yeah, Robert's dead. Thank God. Proves there is
a
God.
Dad, that is not appropriate. Ever.
Armenian prick.
Do not speak ill of the dead.
Why don't you go back to Persia or whatever?
Persia. Oh, hey. My partner's Persian.
And Armenians are not Persian.
No.
By the way.
Does Persia still exist?
No.
Is Persia still
in old maps?
Iran.
It's Iran.
Iran.
I do remember that.
Bohemia doesn't exist.
Prussia was Russia and
Persia.
Persia.
Oh, okay.
Poland and Persia and Russia.
Prussia.
Prussia was... Oh, that's where the Teutonic Knights were from.
I'm over at Cookhouse one time, sitting around there, and this voiceover woman came, and she used to do a lot of voiceover, and she was in there bragging about, oh, my God, I met this guy, he's so wonderful, and we went out to dinner last night. And one of the other voiceover guys goes, oh, yeah, what's his deal? Well, he's a Persian doctor. And the guy looks at me and goes, oh, so he's an Iranian chiropractor.
Racism.
All right, we got to go.
Plenty.
Thanks for coming in. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.